And we are not a quorum yet, but we can take public testimony. So, suppose you would like to go home today.
Okay.
I will. Come on up. We'll open a public hearing on SCR. HCR 11. Have you seen the Dash 1 amendment?
I wish there was a Dash amendment saying that this wasn't needed and that he was back alive.
Go ahead, introduce yourselves to the record and proceed.
I'm State Representative Kerry Thompson, and before you have House Spring Current Resolution 11, it memorializes Gordon McPherson, and I'll just let you read it. I'd like to tell you a little bit about the man's life and some of the things that he did for the state. Early on, when I was involved in fisheries and came to the Capitol as a very young man 25 years ago, he was my state representative, and one of the reasons probably that I'm here. But over the years that he was here, he did many of the major environmental regulations that McCall got credit for, and was very important in those issues that we all now understand make up the state of Oregon: the Bottle Bill, the Oregon Beach Bill, the Dunes Bill. And as a Republican minority party leader, he spearheaded a lot of these projects, and he improved the life in the state of Oregon, and I would very much consider it an honor if you guys would pass this and allow his family to have this memorial. And I'd let Ed go from there.
Thanks, Terry. Mr. Chairman, for the record, Ed Patterson, I'm representing myself for the first time in this session on this resolution. I first met Gordon McPherson when I began my career as a legislator back in the 1971 session. Gordon had one session under his belt at that time, and he was serving his second session, and I was serving my first. And it didn't take long to figure out that here was a very bright legislator. And the unique thing for me was that we pretty well hit it off right off the bat, became very close friends. And one of the neat things that some of you probably have already found, and you will find if you hang around here a while, that you can develop friendships. Not all of them are lasting friendships. Some of them are very brief, and some of them are not, they're an inch deep, depending on the situation. And in my three terms in the legislature, I had found a lot of those type of friendships, but only one was as lasting, as long, and as heartfelt as with Gordon. In his third term, he was elected the House Minority Leader. He served two terms in the majority, and for those of you that are in the majority and have not been in the minority, there's a big difference in the two venues. And then in his third term, he was in the minority. He had campaigned to be Speaker, and the votes didn't come up for him to be Speaker, so he ended up being the Minority Leader, campaigning against Roger Martin, who, and I happen to be on the right side of that one. And Martin and I still are friends also, but not like Gordon was. Gordon was a very bright guy. You can tell by the memorial what kind of things he was interested in. He was, if you were his friend, he was one of the most loyal individuals to his friends of anybody I ever met. He and I vacationed together. He was my best man at my wedding 20 years ago this month. And was a guy that you could always count on. He was a bad guy to get crossways with. Some of his political enemies would find out. But the experience that he gave me in this legislative process and the lasting friendship we had over the last 25 years has been one of the most gratifying things in my life. So I was pleased when Terry said that he was going to introduce this resolution and happy to testify in favor of it. You'll never find anyone who will say much bad about McPherson. He was a credit to the state, he's a credit to himself, and certainly he's a credit to this process here. And I think the resolution is written in such a way that Gordon demonstrates Gordon's statesmanship. In the short three terms that he was here, he accomplished a lot. And as an individual, he helped me and gave me a great deal of advice, not only in this process, but subsequent to this process, when he and I were both out of it, was also a confidant of mine. So he's going to be sorely missed by his friends, certainly sorely missed by his family, and I would echo Terry's statements in saying that this would be an excellent memorial and recognize on a more formal level the contributions he made, both to the state and to his family. With that, I'll be happy to press my case.
Hey, any questions?
Thank you both very much. Any other people that wish to testify on HCR 11? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing. HCR 11, open the work session. HCR 11, Representative Manick.
Mr. Chairman, I move HCR 11 to the floor of the due pass recommendation.
We have a motion on the floor and discussion. Any opposition? Motion is approved. Close the work session. Representative Manick. Representative Thompson.
I can be the carrier.
Would you be willing to carry the direct carry?
Appreciate it very much. Okay. Let's go to Commission 35.
Open a public hearing on House Bill 2335. A number of amendments. Could you give us an update, Jan, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2335 redefines the phrase when children are present for purposes of school speed zone laws. It would specify that children are considered present when they are either in the highway, adjacent to a school ground, in a school crossing, near a highway, adjacent to a school ground, or likely to enter the highway or the school crossing. You have at your place today a dash 8 amendments from Representative Simmons. Those amendments would replace the original bill. The effect of those amendments would be to maintain the current definition of when children are present. And in Section 2, it would define school zone, specifying that the zone begins at the location of a sign indicating a school speed and ends at a sign that indicates either a different speed, so that you're going back to a higher speed, or the end of the school zone. And Section 3 would require that the Department of Transportation mark school zones as no passing zones if they are requested to do so by a city within which the school zone lies. We did get a fiscal statement for the dash 8 amendments, and it is a minimal fiscal impact. The Department of Transportation would only have to do the striping or marking of the school zones as no passing zones if requested to by a city. We also have amendments from the previous meeting, and we have extra copies today of the dash 3 amendments from Representative Beyer. They similarly define school zones, and they create the offense of violating the speed limit in a school zone that are similar to on 45 mile an hour highways. They would create a different situation where the 45 mile an hour highways would have to be signed in one of two ways, either a yellow flashing light indicating that the school speed zone, the 20 miles per hour, applies, or they would have to have a specific sign saying a specific time of day that the school zone speed for 20 miles per hour applies. And there is a larger fiscal impact to that because the Department of Transportation would have to create signs, but they indicated that they could do that signing. And I think one of the witnesses has an additional amendment.
Okay. You have two witnesses signed up. Helen Leary. Please come.
In case you think I'm handing in a manuscript or an encyclopedia, two other people could not attend and had been here previously, and so I have their old testimony as well. My name is Helen Leary, and I'm the executive director of an organization called the Alliance for Community Traffic Safety in Oregon. It's a nonprofit organization whose sole purpose is to promote traffic safety in communities statewide. And so, as an example, we have got services and assistance provided to about 55 traffic safety committees statewide. Those committees you find in LeGrand, Wallowa County, Clackamas County, Medford, Jackson County, and you see these committees doing all sorts of things from bicycle safety rodeos to child safety seat checkup clinics to speed watch programs and the whole gamut of efforts to promote traffic safety in their community. The reason it's important to start out and mention that is that's where school zones became identified to our organization as a concern. Local communities wanted to have a consistent approach to school zones, so we initiated a statewide school zone task force. And that task force consisted of people from Tillamook, from Jackson County, from Bend, from Salem, from Portland, from Lake Oswego, and those people were law enforcement people, engineers, Department of Education, ODOT, the wide gamut of people who would have information and some sort of valuable input on addressing the issues of school zones. We came up with a whole number of issues around school zones, their location, their definition, their inconsistent marking, inconsistent signage, and, of course, the lack of a clear definition of when children are present. Now, we have proposed a whole number of best practices and policies to ODOT to address the other issues. The issue I want to talk to you about today is the definition of when children are present. Currently, as I assume most of you or all of you know, the definition is that you go 20 miles per hour in a school zone on any day and at any time when children are present, meaning when they are visible or can reasonably be expected to be visible. Now, the problem that we found with that is that you can be driving on a 45-mile-per-hour highway and come to a school zone and see a child two football fields away, football field lengths away, behind a fence. And, of course, if you interpret that law strictly, you would go 20 miles per hour. Now, unfortunately, what that set up is a conflict between those who knew that law and those that don't. And also, reasonably would be expected to be visible got interpreted differently by law enforcement and courts and by drivers because it was unclear when it was reasonable to expect the child to be present. Is it any time during the school day, whether children are by the road or not? And so, again, we had reports of truckers who claimed they were stopped and ticketed at 4 a.m. in the morning. Clearly, it's not a clear definition, and we really felt that we would increase respect for school zones, increase safety for our children, if we could come up with a definition that very clearly defines when it is you go 20 miles per hour. The definition that is proposed in the Dash 4 amendments, and it's attached to my testimony, is a very clear, straightforward one that would cause a driver to focus entirely on the school zone. It's when children are in or at a crosswalk, in or alongside the road, or within 50 feet of the road when the school grounds are unfenced. Now, that can be very clearly presented to people, and if you don't have to know whether school's in session or whether the child that's visible a quarter of a mile away causes you to stop or slow down. We think this would indeed increase protection for children and increase the safety in school zones. And we would certainly see ourselves putting together a pamphlet, which is a guide to school zone safety, which we have already talked to ODOT about, that would indeed provide a great educational tool. We are requesting, therefore, an additional amendment to 2335 that is essentially the Dash 4. What it does, define school zones. And by the way, I'm very supportive of the amendment because the school zone definition is the definition proposed by the statewide school zone task force. It would define when children are present. And one additional thing it does that's extremely important is it sets the 20 miles per hour as a maximum in school zones no matter where you are. Believe it or not, 20 miles per hour becomes part of the basic rule in non-urban counties. So what we're saying is make the 20 miles per hour a maximum speed when children are present or when lights are flashing. And that is, again, what the Dash 4 amendment does. I really appreciate the opportunity to comment on that. We also would want to comment on the Dash 3s, which we oppose, because what the Dash 3s do is to set up another situation where people would have to be aware, am I on a 45 mile per hour state highway? And the sign that is up there presenting the days and times which you would go 20 miles per hour is the same size as those words that now say when children are present. If you can go past that and see all of that information in time to slow down, you've got great vision and reaction time. And we're concerned about the safety of children because schools have different hours, and those hours that get posted, it doesn't matter where the children are in or near the road, you would indeed be just obligated to go by the hours. Drivers will tend to ignore those signs when they see no children present, and yet the time span is there, and that will happen on holidays and when school is not in session. We really feel that consistency can really help, and we feel that clarifying the definition of when children are present will help tremendously in rural areas. You won't have to see the school. You will just have to focus on that school zone and our children there, and if they are, you slow down. Thank you for your time, and if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer any of them.
Thank you. So you like the redefining of when children are present? It's in the original bill?
No. The original bill, it's the Dash 4 amendment that is the definition that we are in support of.
Okay. In the Dash 4 amendment. All righty. Okay. Questions from the committee?
Thank you.
Chris Smith?
Good afternoon, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Tricia Smith. I represent Oregon School Employees Association, which is a public employee union representing classified school employees in Oregon's K-12, ESD, Community College, Park and Rec, and now Head Start program. And I'm here to testify, I think mostly in support of everything. There are several amendments which I have been busily back there trying to put together and see where the differences are, and I would suggest to you that the differences are subtle, but perhaps important. In reviewing the Dash 4 amendments, it appears that these are amendments which we support. We originally supported the bill because we think it's important to more clearly define the term when children are present for drivers as well as for children, and for particularly our members who are crossing guards in the schools. And it's often very confusing for drivers to know when the speed zone is in effect and when it isn't. We do not support the portion of the Dash 3 amendment which seems to indicate to me, and I would certainly appreciate correction if my interpretation of Dash 4 is incorrect, but seems to indicate to me in Section 4 that in a 45 mile an hour speed zone, you would be there would be a requirement that for the speed zone to be in effect, a flashing light would have to be present or a sign posted indicating days and hours when the definition children are present would occur. We don't support that amendment because it's very difficult to anticipate all the times in a day or a night when children may be present near a school because activities go on all the time, not just during school hours. So we would not support an amendment that would allow people to drive 45 miles an hour in front of a school because it happens to be an evening and no one thought of that when they posted the sign. We are comfortable with the Dash 4 amendment to the bill, as we were pleased with the bill at its introduction and its intent in redefining when children are present.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Thank you. Is there anyone else here that would wish to testify in House Bill 2335? Seeing none, we will close the public hearing on House Bill 2335.
Are we in work session?
Not yet. Can we go there?
Just off the control with that shit.
That'd be a good idea.
Close the public hearing?
Yep.
Okay.
We'll open a work session. And, colleagues, we have a variety of choices here before us. I understand, and I've become more aware over time, that this got a lot of attention in Transportation Committee. Mm-hmm. And so we have a series of amendments before us, the threes, the fours, the sevens, the dashed ones. I had requested this bill from Senator Representative Montgomery because of a request from a community in my district to get a no-passing zone in a school zone, and so we have the Dash 8. I know there has been a lot of controversy and discussion back and forth, particularly surrounding the Dash 3s and the 4s, and I'd be open to a discussion. Is there any middle ground that can be reached between the threes and fours that would allow us to get a bill out cleanly to try to accommodate some of the interest in the threes or fours, hopefully along with my Dash 8? Representative Devlin?
Mr. Chairman, this is either the fifth or maybe somewhere between the fifth and seventh meeting that this bill has had in this chamber. Once you get into it in any great detail, it becomes relatively complex. To try to meld amendments together would take more time if the chair wanted to devote more time, and we could probably do that.
Mm-hmm.
And try to come to some compromise position. When the bill was transferred out of the Transportation Committee, it was a divided vote to transfer it out. I voted for it under the assurances that it was coming here, just to do an amendment that the chair wanted to the bill. This bill is so controversial so quickly that I think we either have to do one of two things. Either pass it out just with the chair's amendment or delay action on it and see if we can come to some compromise and then attempt to pass it out. Because I don't think you can pass it conceptually. I think passing it conceptually is really pretty difficult.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to know if anybody on the committee has any real problem with the Dash 4 amendment. Separate from whether or not other things might be added to the bill, it seems to me the Dash 4 amendments are pretty good.
I don't agree with the Dash 4 amendments. And I also have another question, Mr. Chairman, about the Dash 8 amendment.
Yes.
I 10 and 11 indicates that a sign that has to mark end of the school zone or a sign posting a different speed. Currently, maybe you can answer, maybe Janet can, are there signs currently posting where the school zones end?
Not consistently, no. One or the other.
So it appears to me that this may create a fiscal or more confusion if a person then needs to go 20 miles per hour until he finds the next speed limit sign, which may be miles in some places.
Is one or the other?
We're in work session. Work session really doesn't allow input from the audience, but if the need arises, we do on occasion have somebody come up to the microphone, but everything that is spoken here, it goes on the record and needs to be close to the microphone. So,
that did indicate, Mr. Chair, in the Transportation Committee that it's a rare instance where there's not one or the other, and so that portion of the bill would not have a fiscal impact.
Okay, so the... Okay.
Mr. Chair, in the stage we are in this session and in the process of trying to facilitate getting the bill through this process, I would recommend that we act promptly, and if that means adopting your amendments and not the others, I would be in support of that, so that we can continue this discussion and move the bill to the Senate.
Further discussion from the committee.
Mr. Chair,
Richard Byer.
As Representative Devlin indicated, there was a lot of work done on this bill, and I had many work, many hours spent on this bill by myself and my staff. And I would point out that I think the number one complaint I received in the last 2 years from my constituents is this issue, the school zone issue. And for those people who don't live in rural Oregon where you don't realize it, when you're going down a highway 55, 60, 65 miles an hour, there's a school zone sign. You can't even see a building. So there are buildings around the corner, obstructed by trees or something like that. You have no idea if there are children present or not, if the school, if the school is going 55, 20, 60, 40. You have no idea. People are getting tickets from these fines now because of what happened last session. We doubled the traffic fines from those zones. These traffic fines are huge. We're talking $300, $400 for the fine received by these people. And they have no idea when they come into these school zones what they're supposed to do. You've got a log truck behind you doing 55 miles an hour. You have two choices. You slow down and get rear-ended by a log truck, or you go through the thing too fast and you get a $300 ticket. Those two choices, I might add, are not very attractive choices. That's why something needs to be done in this arena. And that's what the dash threes are attempting to do. It only applies to 45 mile per hour highway or state highways or greater. And then it would require there to be a notice. So that when you see the sign, and my first preference is a flashing light. And I don't, the Department of Transportation has put an enormous fiscal on this issue when it shouldn't have to be that. It could be as simple as a superintendent or a building principal walking out and putting a flashing light in the sign at the start of the day. And it doesn't have to be elaborate, taking it down at night. But if we're going to move down this road, messing with school zones, we have to do something for those schools in rural Oregon.
Mr. Devlin?
Mr. Chairman, my principal interest in this are the children that can be impacted. And one of the difficulties that you have is you're not dealing with adults here. You're dealing with children all the way from the age of 5 on up. And one of the basic problems is that a child that's 5, 6, 7 doesn't always recognize the danger that is actually there for a road and for cars moving. And one of the basic rules that we have is that if children are present, that you have to slow down. Now, I understand Representative Byer's dilemma. There are ways to potentially address that. One of the ways would be simply to post the larger signs or to post the flashing sign, but not to either put the hours, because then you're indicating something. The more information you put out there for the public to see in signs, the less of it that's read, actually, is what it comes down to. And the basic problem I have is getting rid of the basic rule. And when you get rid of the basic rule, which says when children are present, that would mean to a driver, even if they understood the new system, that as long as that light wasn't flashing, even if there were children in the area, the school zone wouldn't, for all practical reasons, exist. In traffic safety, one of the things going through hearings on this, not only here but other areas of here, is to keep it simple. The simpler that you keep it, the better. Once you start to get explanations of you can only turn right at the third intersection at the next light, you start losing the public. Now, I understand. Actually, in Representative Byer's case, I've driven much of his district years ago, visiting juveniles on probation. And I'd have to say that many of those roads, you know, they're posted for 45 and people are traveling 50 and 55, and I'm not saying that, not having an egregious problem with that, because that's kind of normal. But, and I understand the problem of recognizing where the school is at and all of that, and there are probably ways to address that. But, and going back to the comment by Representative Starr, the people in this audience that want to impact the bill, I can't agree to Representative Byer's amendment and do everything to defeat the bill if it won't got in there. Representative Byer really wants the amendment. This is a House bill. We're going to close in 2 to 3 weeks for this session if things go well. It'd probably be best to pass it out just with the chair's amendment. Let it pass through the House. Let the people in the audience fight over the amendment. Let Representative Byer and I fight in the Senate over him proposing his amendment. And let this committee get on to the other work it needs to do.
What I move to the dash 8 amendments to the bill.
What I think I'll do is I'll take that motion, and if there's any, should we pull a work group together to try to iron out some things and see if something can be pulled together in the Senate side?
In there, done that.
Man, we're gonna lose it.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll lose the whole bill.
Yeah.
So, in the deference to my good colleague, Senator Byer, I'm going to take the motion.
Mr. Chair, I will oppose the bill.
Okay. I respect your right to do so. And so, would you please call the roll on the amendment, the motion to amend the bill with a dash 8 amendment, please? Okay.
No.
Representative Gentlemen? Yes. Representative Gardner? Yes. Representative Harris? Aye. Representative Cheerson? Yes. Representative Starr? Aye. Representative Welch? Aye. Representative Lyons? Aye. Representative Atkinson? Excuse. Representative Depp? Excuse. Representative Edwards? Excuse.
Chair
Simmons?
Aye.
And Representative Mannix.
I move the bill as amended to the floor of the due pass recommendation.
Great. Well, you've heard the motion. Please call the roll.
Representative Byer, how do you vote?
No.
Representative Devlin?
Aye.
Representative Gardner?
Aye.
Representative Mary? Aye. Representative Pearson? Aye. Representative Starr? Aye. Representative Welch? Aye. Representative Williams? Aye. Representative Atkinson? Excuse. Representative Beck? Excuse. Representative Edwards? Excuse. Chair Simmons? Aye.
Mr. Chairman, I hate to do this, but I will serve no as possible in the minority report.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Representative Byer. Duly noted for the record, and the bill goes to the floor with a hanging new pass recommendation. Work session closed. And I will carry the bill. And we'll go down to Senate Bill 831. Open a public hearing on Senate Bill 831.
We're all there. I can't imagine that happening.
Can you give us an overview of Senate Bill 831, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair members. Senate Bill 831 Angra comes through from the South. Has to do with veterans' preference on civil service exams. It would allow veterans who serve on or after October 15th of 1976 to get a veterans' preference. It also allows veterans' preference for employment exams that don't result in a score. And these are...
Excellent. Did you open the public hearing?
I think you did. One hearing.
In the public hearing, we'll have Wayne Harvey... And Jack Magnuson, please come and testify. Just introduce yourself for the record.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, I am Jack Magnuson, spokesman for the United Veterans Groups of Oregon and legislative chairman for the American Legion Department of Oregon. UVGO represents some 13 veterans organizations, and I am here to testify in favor of Senate Bill 831 A and Growth. I might add that the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs and the U.S. Department of Labor is in the audience, and they, of course, support this bill also. My testimony will be short and to the point. Veterans should get a fair chance at civil service jobs in Oregon. This bill provides for eligible veterans who served after October 15, 1976 to be given preference on civil service examination. Many veterans sought a career in the armed forces, but due to the downsizing, they were forced to get out of the military service. This would help those people obtain jobs in a workforce they had not planned to enter until at a later time. We all recognize the sacrifice that veterans have made for their country. We need to recognize those sacrifices, and this is a meaningful way of doing this. The law needs to be brought up to date, and I urge the committee to support this bill. I thank you for the opportunity to appear, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Mr. Magnuson?
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman, members of the committee. I will be as brief as possible. My name is Wayne Harvey. I am only representing myself as a veteran. I just wanted to be able to put a human face on this issue as a veteran that would be assisted by this legislation. As I indicated in my military biography, I recently completed 20 years of military service with the active United States Army, and I am currently rated as 90% disabled by the Department of Veterans Affairs. Yet when I have applied for state employment on various occasions, I was not given any veteran's points. I'm here today to ask for your assistance in this matter, and thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you very much. Any questions, Mr. Harvey? Thank you both very much. Is there anyone else in the audience that wishes to testify on this bill? Very good. We'll close the public hearing. Senate Bill 831. We'll open the work session.
I need one more.
They should be right up.
Yeah. Go grab me.
One more body will do.
Yeah, one more.
We will open a work session. Senate Bill 831.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 831A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Colleagues, we have a motion on the floor to move Senate Bill 831 to the floor. Any discussion on the motion? Any opposition to the motion? Please, we will go ahead and call the roll.
No opposition.
Excuse.
Aye.
Which bill?
Devlin.
Which one?
Devlin. Okay. It's not gotten
No.
Oh, it's
yes, it doesn't turn out to Yes, port your bet.
You bet.
Excuse.
The report needs to come down, and this is about the bill.
You'd be nice to Peter, would you?
Mr. Chairman,
did this go to the floor once?
It did. It had an amendment before it, three sets of amendments.
Did it die on the floor?
No, it quivered around for a while.
We're waiting until it's today.
In Columbus.
Should we play a drum roll?
That's what Peter Courtney looks like, eh?
This is
public hearing on Senate Bill 487, and we have some amendments before us today. To Senate Bill 487, I think three different amendments. What was the Senator Courtney's name on the top? Could you give us a staff overview, please, before we wait into this debate?
Thank
you. Excuse me, Senator Courtney.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 487, and if you have the dash A amendment, you should also have a engrossed principle for the bill. It requires proof of school attendance or other educational progress before the Oregon Department of Transportation may issue a person a driver's license if they're under 18. And there's an entire list of things that would be proof of school attendance. The school district, the other main provision of the bill is that a school district may choose to notify ODOT of a student withdrawal that might render the student ineligible for a driver's license, and then ODOT would notify that person that their driver's license would be suspended on the 30th day following that date of notice. Mr. Chair, there's A3, A4, and A5 amendments. The A3 amendments change days. The 15 days of absence that would be grounds for removal of a driver's license authority to 15 school days instead of just days. The dash 4 amendments provide an additional type of proof of educational that the person is in an educational program, and that would be that, or excuse me, that they're exempt from an educational program and not that they have full-time employment. And their parents certify that they have full-time employment. And the dash 5 amendments give the authority for a private school to also be able to notify the Department of Transportation to suspend a driver's license, as well as a public school. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair. Yes. Mr.
Senator Courtney, Chair, did you want to hear from him, or do you want us to get rolling on this?
I'd be happy to hear any comments from Senator Courtney, should he choose to offer any, or we can get into the discussion of the, we did have this bill on the floor once. I think it's a good idea, personally. It needed some little bit of tweaking, I guess, to get the constitutional number of votes on the floor. And, yes, Mr. Mayor.
I apologize, I interrupted you. If I may, if you will consider this a work session, I will make a motion and explain my motion.
Okay, we'll open a work session on the
closed
public hearing on Senate Bill 487. Open a work session on Senate Bill 487.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I move the dash A4 amendment, and then I'd like to explain the motion.
Okay, proceed.
The dash A4 amendment is to me the most important amendment to this bill, because it incorporates the whole school attendance policy that's in statute under ORS 239-030. And this, to me, was the largest stumbling block that arose when we were discussing this on the floor. Because, for example, the entire school attendance policy does allow an individual to make a choice to go to work in the statute. And it doesn't second-guess the reason for the choice as long as the person has gone to work. Because of that, it then allows us to say that the entire school attendance policy, which includes a variety of carefully wrought exceptions, will apply, and we aren't fashioning some new standard in that regard. That was an important part of the discussion, and I think an important part of this bill, because in our discussion, much came up to the effect of what about the young person who makes that choice to go to work, and they weren't really fully protected in the original bill. This amendment will fully protect that.
Do you want to add anything, Senator Courtney?
Not at all, except that in viewing the amendment before you, not necessarily Senator Courtney, District of 17, Mrs. Gillen, right? You probably both have put together the most progressive and the probably the best form of this bill anywhere in the nation. There are 19 other states, and none of them have. They've just simply, just mandated across the boards, etc. The bill is a king to us, probably tried to make it user friendly, if you know what I mean, that way even the post or the school board helping put together that they make it close. So when I listened horrifiedly on my cell phone to the debate, which was going on before the night that it was being debated, I was sitting in the bleachers at Holland Park watching my little kid. But I had a cell phone, I'm listening, et cetera, and going, I see I have to admit that it's a good amendment, so I should, you know, I support the amendment of that amendment. So I have nothing more to say than that. So I think there were some points that were made on the floor that were very worthwhile. It would make a much better bill and a much more sensitive bill for that individual student in individual circumstances. And I mean that very sincerely.
Mr. Devlin.
Do you realize my last minute effort on the floor to save your bill?
I'm going to do a lot of last minute efforts.
The pleading.
Never going. I don't think.
Someone wanted to send it to a closed committee, or a committee that was going to close that morning.
They're
going to send it to transportation.
I've heard about that. Yeah. Hold on. What did I say?
Mr. Chair, I don't know if this is a question for Senator Courtney, but I'm just kind of curious to know what we're doing in the state. This body has already passed, and I'm assuming the governor's going to sign a bill that's going to severely restrict a 16-year-old to get a driver's license, can be a provisional driver's license, all sorts of other restrictions, who can ride with them, when they can drive. Now, if this bill passes, we're going to say that another restriction on 16 and 17-year-olds is driver's license. Last I checked, people are getting driver's license from the state at the age of 16 without any provisions for decades. Long before I was ever 16, I don't know when it was. Kids died then. Kids will die now. Kids skip school then. Kids will skip school now. To me, it comes a point in time you got to let people be people. And I voted against those bills earlier on the floor, the ones for the extra requirements on the young people's driver's licenses. And I'll vote against this bill. We got to let people be themselves. We're doing everything we can to restrict people's freedoms and make sure government runs every aspect of their lives, whether it be driving, going to school, free speech, carrying guns, you name it. And it's just, when's it going to stop? I'd like to respond to this a little bit. I appreciate very much, Representative Fire, your opinion about that. And I do, I'm one who still on occasion resents the seatbelt law.
I do every day of the week.
More, but to put that thing on. But as I think that driving on our roadways is a tremendous responsibility, and to negotiate the roadways safely, you have a tremendous opportunity to do great harm to other individuals that you're around, and asking that children show some initiative and responsibility in other areas of their life, along with getting that driver's license, I think is not entirely inappropriate. My thought.
Thank you. Senator Courtney, this really is a truancy bill, not a driving bill, correct? Is that right?
That's correct.
Are the current truancy, right now we have truancy laws on the books. Those bills aren't being enforced, they're not being effective. We just need this to provide the incentive. It seems to me that if we enforced our current truancy law, that we wouldn't need this bill. We'll comment on that.
Well, that may be correct. You must understand that the concept didn't come from me. I was approached by a major school official in Salem about the incredible amount of absenteeism in schools and churches. And lo and behold, I looked at every high school in the state and did find among a number of the high schools the dropout rate was high. And in March, the Department of Education released figures that really startled me, that one out of four was not just being truant, which is meaning you're absent of it. In a way, it's a dropout bill. They were dropping out of school, one out of four. And they were gone. We were losing them. It's one thing to be truant. It's another thing to drop out and that's it, you're losing. And overwhelmingly, those kinds of kids, when you get into crimes and drugs, as well as the public systems later on, their numbers were very, very high. The question became, how do you try to keep them in school? And lo and behold, I found that at least 19 other states, and those states ranked all the way from Alabama to Wisconsin, with West Virginia being the very first state of Britain that pioneered this back in 87, used this approach because of the sacredness, if I may say so, of the sacredness of the driving privilege which young people cherish so much. And so this is meant more as a carrot than a stick, to be very frank with you. In addition, if you look at the way the bill is drafted, once a young person gets that driver's license, I do not force this bill on every school district in the state. It will be up to the individual school districts of the state to decide whether or not they want to use this policy. That's what makes it so much different than any of the other state laws. They mandate across the state. Now, I do, in the beginning, Representative Starr, say to get your license up front, to get it, as a way of saying we think education is important. You just simply need to show that you're involved in some kind of educational program, et cetera, but that could be a whole variety of things. So, you know, truancy is one thing, dropping out is another. Truancy is one thing, dropping out is another. I don't want to lose a kid. I don't know about your age. I'm 55. I'm an old person. I think probably you could make it in life if you didn't have a high school educational truancy in my peers. I came out of Salt Catholic High School in West Virginia in 1961. Today, I think you really got a problem if you don't at least have some kind of privilege of that education. You know what I mean? I really do. And I really worry. And these high schools, the list of them, are from all over the state. They're not just... I got a problem in Salem, Kaiser, I admit it to you. I got a problem. I'm up in double digits. I got problems. But Salem's not alone. And these high schools are 1A, 2A, 4A, 3A. So I don't think the truancy laws alone do it. I think it would be better, and also, more kids today have automobiles than they had when I was a kid. And I think when a kid has an automobile, that, you know, I had kids who testified, I hate you, Peter, but I got to tell you, if this bill passes, I'm not going to be cheating coming back from that lunch hour, or I'm not going to be coming late to school. These are stories that came from kids. These are people who, I am going to be sure, because, you know, my kid doesn't have a car. But I'm just telling you, the fact that more kids have cars, I think there's a more of a tendency to play footloose and fancy free with truancy and dropout. So that's another good reason I think it's worthwhile to have a bill which is as flexible. It's not one size fits all, something I've learned from the Republicans in my head. Rather, it's made to be sensitive to the different schools and school districts across the state. Long answer, struggle with your question, did the best I could, Representative Starr.
Thank you very much.
We are in work session. We do have amendments, of course. Would the colleague care to offer any, venture any opinion what may be done to improve this bill further? We have the dash fours before us. We have a motion.
I'd move others after you deal with this.
I don't know that we have a required number of votes to get it out of the committee. And there's only eight of us here. Only two people can, one person can vote no and have it pass. And I think,
well, why don't we do an informal survey? I'm okay with this bill if we fix it.
Mr. Chair, I won't offer a minority report if that's an issue.
Kitty and I will do that. Let me ask my other colleagues who are here today a question. And if not, maybe the chair would just concede to let the bill come back again.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe both Representative Beck and Representative Edwards would vote in favor of the bill. Knowing that, gentlemen, are you willing to set aside your potential no votes in committee today? Oh, okay. Well, I'm just kidding.
Really?
Thank you.
Oh, okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. I assume too much. My apologies, mm-hmm. Representative.
Mr. Chair, I the senator here, but I just disagree with one.
I would respectfully like to engage those others on the committee also in this decision and to give us the weekend. I think Peter's got something that's innovative here, but I think it's as I felt to begin with, a quick and easy way to get past the issue of truancy in the schools and the schools with open campuses and everything else, not ever willing to take that issue on. And I'm battling with that right now. Okay, I have not overcome that feeling. So I'd like to think about it over the weekend. Okay?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Byer.
Thank you. I guess I'd just like to point out that I don't know if Morrill High School, Morrill School District is on your list, Senator Courtney, but they have a dropout problem also. And I don't know what point you call it a dropout problem, but they had a high dropout rate. They brought in a principal, an innovative person. They didn't have a driver's license bill. They didn't have any new law. And I know that that one person and just his attitude and the things he did in the school lowered the dropout rate. And these are rough numbers, but it was somewhere around 15%, and he took it down to 8 or 9%. All they did is they brought in a new person who had some new ideas, some new ways to deal with students. And you don't need to take some of the driver's license away. You need some other things.
First of all, we can adopt amendments by a majority of those present. And we could take care of that, at least to have a bill that's been put together that has amendments, and then we can chew on whether or not. But I'd like to speak generally to the issue of truancy, because I can speak from experience. I agree with those who say that creative and aggressive ways work. When I was Assistant Attorney General in Guam, one of the departments I was assigned to was the Department of Education, and they had a horrific truancy problem. And in that location, I'll make a long story short, I began an aggressive program of sending letters to the parents of truants, pointing out that I could prosecute them for contributing to the delinquency of a minor if their kids didn't go to school. And I had the truant officers deliver those letters. Mm-hmm. We went through this process where by the time they got the third letter, I said, I do mean business, and you will soon see a summons. And sure enough, we ended up having to serve summons on 57 families on an island where there's about 25,000 kids in school. Long story short, though, is that 56 of those 57 families, we started out with hundreds, right? Worked our way down to 57 by the time we had to send out the summons. 56 of those 57 suddenly were not truants any longer. By the time they had to appear in front of the judge, and then we dropped the charges. And the last one held out a little longer, and then they cleaned up their act too, because all of them were in danger of being pulled into the justice system. So yes, aggressive, creative things can work. But that took time and resources. On the other hand, it would have been nice to have had some additional tools available, such as to say, and by the way, besides having to worry about a juvenile delinquency proceeding or contributing to the delinquency of a minor, we're going to pull your license. And in fact, I think I would have had a faster response right off the bat. And the truant officers on the island were looking for, there were seven of them, were looking for backup. They got it. It made a difference. And I was pleased with them. But I also know that there is a psychology of the driver's license. And this simply says to school districts, we're giving you an additional tool. I happen to agree with Representative Welch that a number of our districts around the state have got namby-pamby policies when it comes to school attendance. They ought to get tough, they ought to have closed campuses, et cetera, et cetera. And I know when I was in high school, you feared going to the school attendance officer in the morning to bring your note in for fear that they would question you. And they would call your parents and check on you. There's all those other things. But we have in front of us one tool that's available. It's tied to a privilege, driving privilege, and that's important. I understand that we might be deferring the bill. I saw the A4 amendments as a way of incorporating those. The current system where we do allow people to not be in school, the entire system is incorporated in here, which was a failure, not a failure, but a gap that was in the original bill. So that's why I proposed the A4, and that moves us in that direction.
Mr. Williams. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I recognize that the bill has some problems on the floor, but I'm generally supportive of the concept, and I am supportive of it for the same reason I supported the school uniform bill not very long ago. It's not a mandate. It doesn't tell my school district that they have to use this program as a way to deal with truancy issues. But it's one more tool in the toolbox that they can use. So where a school district has a problem, where a board wants to be more aggressive and exercise that issue, I think we ought to give them the right to do so. It's essentially the same policy for the reason I supported photo radar and photo red light. Some of my colleagues didn't necessarily agree with those proposals either.
but they're tools. They're tools for communities to be able to use, and I think it's appropriate that we let them be creative.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I don't know right here. This is, Darwin.
I just want to echo some of the comments of two previous representatives. I support the bill. I am concerned, though, significant concern about the fact that we have statute on the books, truant statutes, about in the process, much like the process that Representative Mannix explained that he went through in Guam, a very similar process by which a school goes out and notifies the parents by certified letter and tells them that their kids are supposed to be in school and notifies them that if they don't, they can subject to a fine. I'm not convinced that those procedures are being followed by some of these school districts that are out there that have double-digit dropouts or double-digit kids that aren't showing up to school. Significantly concerned about that. If we had a compliance with the current law statute, I don't know that we'd have the problem that we have today, so I will support the bill.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I really worked hard to not say anything today. Well, Peter knows how I feel. Senator Courtney knows how I feel about the bill. But I did want to say that I felt after all this conversation, I needed to say that I believe that if we were attending to having counselors in schools, if we were going to have the variety of programs that keeps kids engaged in school, because not everybody is a person who's attached to school through academics. There are a whole lot of other things at stake about keeping our young people in our schools and moving them successfully through them into the future. And those kinds of things are the kinds of things that I'm really interested in trying to do to keep our kids in school rather than the breadth of whether you have a driver's license. So I respectfully disagree with this amendment.
Is there agreement enough on the committee to proceed with adopting the amendment?
Yes.
Okay.
Vote for adopting the amendment.
Okay, so we have the -4s. The motion is pending. And Senator Courtney, did you want to offer an opportunity to chime in here tonight? So we will, then we have a motion before us to adopt the -4 amendment to Senate Bill 487. You want me to call a roll on this?
I'm fine.
Okay. Is there any objection then? Seeing none, so ordered. Mr. Mannix.
Mr. Chairman, I move the A5 amendment to the bill. And if may, I'll then explain my motion.
Yes, proceed, please.
The A5 does for private schools what we do for school districts. It allows a private school to decide that they want to ask DMV to help them enforce by notifying about withdrawal. Well, excuse me, at least it allows them to provide the information to DMV about withdrawal so that they can tie in, but they don't have to. And Senator Cordy may want to explain how that tie-in works, but as I understand it, it says may, so that's just an empowerment piece, but if I'm wrong, perhaps there are qualifications.
Senator Courtney.
Which one did you pick?
A5.
I want to be sure that the council is...
Mr. Chair, Representative Mannix, Joan Robinson, Legislative Council. Yes, that's an accurate explanation of what the -5 amendment is.
Okay, colleagues, you have the -5 amendment before us, and motion has been made for further discussion on the amendment. Representative Byer.
I have to ask a question, Mr. Chair. I mean, there is no requirement to go to a private school, so I don't understand how this is going to work. The private school is going to notify the department so when the student withdraws, then what?
Through the notification process, then there are sanctions unless the student is going to school somewhere else.
Isn't it Star?
Yeah. Senator Cortez, you asked for this suggested? Yes, A5?
These are not my personal amendments. These are amendments that were drawn up and developed on behalf of the floor of the House.
Were private school folks that are in this building notified or asked, or did they know?
session. We don't have anybody sitting in the audience that represents private schools. I know there's folks in this building from time to time to do that.
It's true. I can't answer Representative Starr's question. What I can say is that, as legal counsel and both Representative Mannix pointed out, it's a may issue. It's not a shall issue. It simply gives the private school, the governing board of the private school, the opportunity to opt into this program. And while there's no obligation that anyone attend a private school, the same truancy laws would apply to all children in Oregon, apply whether you're in a public school or a private school. So if they're not going to school somewhere, then they would be subject to this if their attendance fell in a private school and the governing board of the private school had opted in, then it simply gives them the same access to DMV's procedures as the public school system. So again, it's just a matter of choice. A governing body of a private school would have to make the determination they wanted to participate in this program.
Permissive. Clerk, please call the roll.
Representative Atkinson?
Excuse.
Representative Beck?
Excuse.
Representative Fire, how do you vote?
Aye.
Representative Devlin?
Aye.
Representative Edwards?
Excuse.
Representative Gardner?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Piercy?
Aye.
Representative Starr?
Aye.
Representative Welch?
Aye.
Representative Williams?
Aye.
Chair Simmons?
Aye. And the Amendment Dash 5 is adopted.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Mannix.
I move adoption of the A3 Amendment. Looks to me like that's simply a technical correction to the bill. Perhaps you could hear further from the Senate report.
Mr. Chair, John Robinson again, Legislative Council. The amendment request was to clarify the language. I personally thought the language could not be read any other way than the way this clarifies it, but I've learned that if people think their language should be clarified, probably in many cases it should be. So it clarifies the language.
Okay. So the motion before for the discussion on the motion. Any objection to the motion? Seeing none, so ordered. We'll post this again for Tuesday.
Okay. I'm not going to. Sure, I'm not going to win 100% of the fire, so I don't understand that. Because this bill doesn't yank a kid's driver's license. That's the thing that you fight. First of all, the school district's got to decide. Then, when a principal calls a student in, even if the student were absent, obviously that's enough to do it. That doesn't mean the principal or the assistant principal is going to yank a license. In fact, what I think is going to happen is you're going to probably have discussions taking place between students and principals in schools that don't take place now, and the license will not be yanked. Then says we'll find out what's going on in that kid's life. Also, I think the number one thing the public wants in all the polls, more than money and counselors and class size, you know what they want? All the polls show this. They want more parental involvement in the schools. And I really believe that this carrot, I don't want to be just to be used as punitive, I really mean, will bring parents into the schools because I think he's got messing with the kids' license. I think the parents might be more interested in getting involved in some of those discussions. So this bill doesn't say automatically, if you've missed school this number of days, your license is gone. The bill doesn't say that. It's never said that. The bill simply says that a school district can be entitled, if the school board decides, to bring a kid in if they're missing too much school, and they know they're starting to lose this kid, and say, look, you know, what's going on in your life? What's happening? Are you in GED? Have you got a job? Are you home taking care of a sick mother or father? There's been some amazing stories like this. What's going on? And so I really hope that I mean this sincerely, what I'm saying. I don't want it to be seen as some stick that's beat on kids. That is what I think hopefully this bill will lead to. And will cause. So it's the context of the bill, I think, like the 40 here today, is not quite what it is. It's not a shell over the head thing. It's an incentive which can lead to discussions, and then things will be impossible to lead to taking license. But I believe in many cases will lead to, all right, we understand, but we got to tell you, if that's going on, maybe you need a counselor. Maybe you need to get in your GED program. Can we help you? Maybe talk about summer school. And I think those are positive things. I just thank you very much for indulging. I just That's the context of the bill.
Chair.
Listen, Barr.
Senator Courtney, I would agree with you 100% that the key is to get parents involved in schools. I think you're entirely right. Whereas I don't run around looking my life and decide how I'm going to vote by what the polls say.
Well, I didn't mean it that way.
I think you're probably right that the polls would show that parents need to get involved in schools. The polls that I've seen show that people don't think the schools need more money. They don't know how to spend it better. I think if you want to affect and get parents involved, maybe you should draft the bill that the kid misses 15 days of school. You're going to jerk the parents' license. Look at the parents.
The chair, the Dean and Nancy senator, Democrat senator here, that's what it would come across.
The bar.
That him drafting us.
Okay. Oh, thank you very much. And thank you for the business for the committee we are here.
I appreciate it.
Oh, I need to think about it.